Then I will come to order. Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Roll call for Thursday, February 23rd. Barnard.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Here.
Christensen.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
Dockstader. Driscoll.
Here.
Amrick.
Here.
Esquibel.
Here.
Geist.
Here.
Hastert.
Here.
Hicks.
Here.
Hines.
Here.
Jennings.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Martin.
Here.
Meyer.
Here.
Nicholas.
Here.
Nutting.
Here.
Perkins.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Ross.
Here.
Rothfuss.
Here.
Schiffer.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Von Flatern.
Here.
President Anderson.
Here.
30 present.
Prayer by Reverend Gilbert.
May we unite our hearts in prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, at times we become so engrossed in the opportunities and responsibilities of our daily tasks, we lose sight of people who are near and dear to us. We pause for a few seconds this morning to hold in our mind's eye our spouses, our children, our parents, and other family members who truly are the wind beneath our wings. Wherever they may be, and whatever they are doing, fill their minds with your wisdom, their hearts with your love, and their souls with your Holy Spirit. We pause for a few seconds to give thanks for those we know who are supportive of our being in this place and serving in this capacity. We pause for a few seconds to remember with unfailing gratitude those now serving in harm's way so we can safely discuss matters of state. And we must remember those who gave of their lives that we might live. May their service help us esteem more highly our liberties. And so we offer this prayer in the name of Christ, who offered up his life so we might have life abundant. And all who were able in unison said, Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the reading clerk please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February the 22nd, 2012, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Nunnig, Chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Members of the Senate, the doctor for today is Dr. Tom Radosevich, and Dr. Radosevich comes from Casper, and thank you, doctor, for your assistance today. Our nurse, we don't have a nurse for today. On this day in history, you know, and this really forms a vivid picture in my mind, but on this day in 1945, the U.S. Marines raised the flag on Iwo Jima. Our thought for today comes from Ronald Reagan, and Ronald Reagan said, there's nothing wrong with America that together we can't fix. And I think the operative word there is together. Members of the body, it's with great honor and privilege that we welcome Senator and Mrs. Enzi back to the Wyoming legislature. Senator Enzi served in the Wyoming House from 1987 through 1996, and also served in the state Senate from 1992 until 1996. He was sworn into the United States Senate in 1997 and has been serving the people of Wyoming there ever since. He currently serves on the U.S. Senate's Committee on Budget, Committee on Finance, Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions, and the Committee on Small Business and Entrepreneurship. Please help me in welcoming home United States Senator Mike Enzi.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Mr. President, this truly is coming home. I'm always amazed when I get here, as long as it's been since I served, how many of you are still here helping to train others. And I appreciate all the training that you gave me. Diane and I appreciate all of the work that you do and the way you do it, particularly in light of the way it's done in Washington. We also want to thank you for the sacrifices that your families make. This isn't easy coming down here for a period of time when you're part-time legislators, leaving some work behind and some that you have to do on a daily basis even while you're here. And at the same time, spend the whole day here and the whole evening getting ready for the next day. People don't realize the adrenaline that it takes down here, and that's why there are so many colds and other kinds of sicknesses that happen. There's tremendous stress. You really put a lot of effort into the work. And every time I come here, I remember that and am amazed at how much you get done. You know, in Washington, if we can clear a bill a week, it's a big deal. And I look at the board and see how many you anticipate doing in one day, and I'm really impressed. But, of course, one of the reasons is because you sit at your desks and you do your work. I keep trying to get them to allow us to take electronic devices on the floor, like you can, so that we can have something to do while we listen to the speeches. And I think it would greatly increase the number of people that sat on the floor and listened and then joined in the debate. And then it would be more of a true debate like you have. Ours are all prepared speeches. And you go to the floor, it doesn't necessarily even have anything to do with what the business of the day is. And it takes up some time and allows you to eliminate some frustrations, but it doesn't really produce anything. And at the same time, we expect you to react to what we're doing. There are a number of issues that we're working on, that some of which we've already forced on you and expect you to comply with. It really ought to come kind of the other direction. You telling us what needs to be done to make your state a better place. But instead, we have all the wisdom in Washington, so we send it back your way instead. I know that's not true because I work here, and our team in Washington is truly a team. We all served in the legislature. We all got the training here. We'd all like to see it done that way in Washington. And incidentally, we have bills that would do that if we could ever get them considered. One of them that I'm working on, of course, is biennial budgeting. Although it's a little different than the way you're doing biennial budgeting because we're handling about $4 trillion. I don't know how much that is, but I know it's a lot more than a person can do in just a couple of months of looking at big price tags, and needs to have more done than just looking at big price tags. They need to get into the details of it. So I suggested that they split it up so that we do half of it one two-year period and another half the next two-year period, one-year period and the other the next one-year period, and do the most controversial ones in the first year before the elections. Now, you have to do it just before the elections, and there's some benefit to that for your constituents, and it makes things very careful. When we get back, we're going to be doing cybersecurity. I don't think many people can spell it, let alone know what that means, but we're not going to let that go to committee. That came from the president's office to Harry Reid, and it goes to the floor. But he has assured us that we'll have a full and open debate. Now, you know how important committees are. That's where you really get into the nitty-gritty of the bill and get to exchange ideas and maybe work out some compromises or some alternate language. Well, that's what we do, too. That's what we're supposed to do, too. But we're going through a period of having it come from President Harry Reid and then to the floor. There are 22 bills that the House has passed, and 10 of those, the most votes against it was 7 out of 435. pretty bipartisan. Those 10 were mentioned in the president's speech, said, get it to my desk. I don't know if we'll even consider them in the Senate. We could pass them in half a day each, probably. Both sides could agree not to amend it, but it's just such a different situation than what you're doing here. Now, a couple of things that you, I hope, are interested in that I'm working on. One of them is marketplace fairness. That's the ability to collect sales tax. You already passed laws, I know, because I helped pass some of those, that require people to pay sales tax even if they buy it from out of state, unless they pay sales tax in that state. And Wyoming is losing a lot of money, as you're well aware, as people buy things online and don't pay the tax. It isn't a raise in taxes. The taxes are already owed. Now, some states, because of what's happening with the online sales, are looking at having to do an income tax. And that's one of the worst words that you can possibly provide in any state, I think, but particularly Wyoming. So I hope that you are interested in that and that you will provide some backup on it as we get into it. This should be the year to get it done. A major swing has happened. We've always been opposed by eBay and Amazon. This year, Amazon joined us and said we're a mature enough business that we ought to be collecting those taxes and paying those taxes. And they know what's happening to the brick-and-mortar stores and the ability to compete there. So some support on that as we get raked over the coals would be really helpful. Another thing that we're dealing with in Washington that you probably have more capability on than we do is highways. We keep talking about the need for infrastructure. The difficulty is our highway money has always come out of the gasoline tax, but we've depleted that fund. And so now we're considering a bill to continue to fund highways because we have to fund highways. That's our transportation system. It's national security as well as the ability to get to recreational places like Yellowstone Park. But you'd be embarrassed at where we're looking at getting the money for it. We're going to violate trust funds to do that. You know, Social Security is a trust fund. But they say, well, we'll pay it back sometime. I've used the example that at your favorite store, there's this outfit that you'd really like to have. And right now it's 50% off. It was $100, now it's $50. Not much of an outfit, right? You don't have the $50, and you've already maxed out your credit cards. And so you have to find the money somehow. So you search around, and you find $30. That's 60% of it. But you have to borrow the other 40%. That's what the federal government's doing, mostly borrowing it from China. So you have to borrow it from somebody, and your friends already know how bad you are. So they're not going to loan it to you. So you have to go to an enemy who hopes to own you and borrow that other $20. But that gives you the money to be able to buy this outfit. And who knows what horizons will open for you as a result of having that. Now, here's the kicker in Washington. You know the $50 that was saved? We think we can spend that on new programs as newfound money. That's what we're doing. We didn't budget for the war effort. We paid that as we've gone along. And now that the war is winding down, they said, well, the savings that we have on that every year, we can use that to buy new programs. One of the things we're going to have to do is stop doing new programs. Now, I remember when I was here, we came up with a lot of great ideas. But one of the things we were constrained by was having to do a balanced budget. So some of those ideas had to be thrown out. Or we had to figure out something that wasn't working and throw that out. I've been looking at duplication in Washington under the jurisdiction of my committee, and I found that there's $9 billion worth of annually of duplication. You ought to be able to eliminate half of duplication, shouldn't you? And maybe give the ones that are doing the good work the job of doing it and a little bit of money from the other, but saving some money from doing that. Well, Tom Coburn did that with me, and he got so excited he looked at all of the agencies. There was $900 billion of duplication. It goes a long way toward solving our problem. Now, why was there so much more by looking at the whole picture? There's a lot of duplication between agencies. I can only look at what I had jurisdiction over. But preschool education, for example, when I got to Washington, there were 119 programs. We actually spend more on preschool education than we spend on K through 12 education. Well, I got rid of all of them but 69 of them. Again, just what I went by was their own evaluation, how well they were doing. And they weren't doing well by their own evaluation. So we were able to eliminate those. Why haven't we eliminated more? Well, most of those are under the Department of Agriculture, not the Department of Education that I get to have some work on. So there is some duplication problems that we can take care of. Another thing that more directly affects what you're trying to do now is health care. And, of course, that's in the courts right now. And I suspect that it will get thrown out. If the whole thing doesn't get thrown out, there are parts that I'm sure will get thrown out. And I'm the ranking member on that committee, and so I'm ready with an alternative bill that would replace that and do what I think the president intended and a little bit more, and have it paid for. And we're also ready, in case a part of it gets thrown out, to be able to do that. But I know you're wrestling with some of the things, again, that the health care bill has said you have to do, and you have to do it by a specific date. And I also know that the regulations dealing with that haven't even been written yet. So I don't know how they can expect you to meet those criteria when they haven't written the regulation. Now, one of the things is health exchanges. I know you've been wrestling with that. I've talked to a number of you about it. I don't know how you can know where to go if you haven't been told what's supposed to be in there. And incidentally, I think health exchanges are a good idea. It's been in all of the bills that I've proposed, but it hasn't been in the same way. I never anticipated the federal government saying, this is exactly the kind of insurance you have to buy. And what I got interested in, it was with prescription drugs. You remember when we did the prescription drug benefit for seniors? Wyoming had two suppliers for seniors. And I thought, sure, that if we imposed some federal regulation on that we would wind up with none. So there is a provision in there that if you do wind up with none, the federal government will provide the benefit. What surprised me was when, after we passed that, we went from two companies to 47 companies that provided it. And before the bill went into effect, the prices dropped by 25%. That's what competition can do. That's what a national health exchange could do. Again, if everything was posted online, so that you could put in the needs that you want and have it tell you what the two or three best companies are, I think there'd be some advantage in it, and I think there'd be more companies participating in it. The way it is now, where we have this minimum requirement, it eliminates a lot of insurance that people, I think, might be interested in buying. So I would hope that they would allow everything to go on there, and maybe an asterisk for the ones that don't meet the minimum requirements. In my opinion, the minimum requirements are almost the maximum requirements. So it'll be quite a problem. And, of course, this is an energy state, and we're dealing with that every day. We run into the arguments that there are 71 million acres of leased land out there that haven't been drilled yet. And so our delegation has to point out that, first of all, when you buy a lease, you can't just buy the piece that has the oil under it. You got to buy whatever they offer. And you drill where the oil is. And secondly, it takes about 5 years to get the permitting done to be able to drill the well. So there's a lot of land out there that would be drilled if people could get a finished permit. So, but I'm really worried about the energy. I've been visiting with some of my friends in Australia. And they pointed out to me that China isn't contracting for resources. They are buying resources. Or trading for resources, but they are owning the resources. They are owning the coal itself. They are owning the oil itself. They're owning the natural gas itself. What does that mean? Remember when we said some bad things about Saudi Arabia in 1973? And they did a little embargo on energy for us? We couldn't even get it, let alone pay a lot more for it. And the price went from 25 cents a gallon. There are probably a few in here that can remember that. To a buck a gallon. Overnight. And people had to wait in line to get their gas. That's where we're going to be with energy if we don't start developing our own energy. We had the little Keystone Pipeline thing that has now been nixed and isn't going to happen. And Canada said, don't worry about it. We just sold it to China. China is buying energy any place in the world that they can. And when they own it, they will own us. So they're working on two things, energy and food, and those are both critical things. Well, I'll let you get back to your appropriating. I love the way that you do it. It's a very responsible way. I've been trying to get us to do it in much the same manner. But we haven't had a budget for 3 years, any at all. We just spend the money. And it's not a good situation. And we just received the new budget. And as the accountant, it's pretty scary because I'm looking at the gimmicks that are used to invent money. And we're going up at $1 trillion a year. And another fascinating thing in the budget is that it anticipates we're only going to pay interest on each year's deficit, not the accumulated debt. Be a neat trick, too. So some interesting times. It's inspirational to get to come back and see you and see what you're doing. And, of course, you take all the pressure off of us while you're handling the media here, which should be an opportunity for us to get a lot done, right? Now, I really appreciate what you do and what your families put up with in order to have this done and the intensity with which you work while you're here. Thank you for your efforts.
Well, Senator Enzi, on behalf of the Wyoming Legislature, we thank you for your service to Wyoming and the United States Senate, and we most appreciate you coming here today and updating us on your work in Washington. Be safe. Thank you again. House bills on first reading. Yes, Senator Martin. Senator Martin, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I would like to take the opportunity now to introduce some folks from Sweetwater County. Sitting here with us here on the Senate floor, we have Sweetwater County Commissioner John Kolb, his wife Elvira, and their daughter Alexia. And I would ask that the Senate give them a warm, warm Senate welcome.
Well, good morning and welcome. House Bill 55, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 55, sponsored by Representative Berger, perfection of security interest titled personal property, and act relating to secured transactions. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 55 is assigned to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 50, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 50, sponsored by Representative Brown, Insurance Fraud Prevention and Act Relating to Insurance. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 40, noes 19, excused 1.
House Bill 50 is assigned to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 40, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 40, sponsored by Representative Byrd, Optional Sales Use Tax Uses, an act relating to taxation and revenue. Passed the House on third reading in an amended form. Ayes 57, noes 12, excused 1.
House Bill 40 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. House Bill 31, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 31, sponsored by the Management Council, Obsolete Laws, and Act Relating to the General Revision of Laws. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 31 is assigned to Committee Number 12, Rules. House Bill 27, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 27, sponsored by the Minerals Committee, Extension of Energy Producing States Coalition, and Act Relating to the Legislature. Passed the House on third reading. Ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 27 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. House Bill 16, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 16, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, Insurance Code Revision, and Act Relating to Insurance. Passed the House on third reading. Ayes 55, noes 3, excused 1, conflict 1.
House Bill 16 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 9, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill, that's House Joint Resolution 9, sponsored by Representative Dan Zwanitzer, Mandatory Judicial Retirement, a joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution to modify the mandatory retirement age for Supreme Court justices and judges of other courts in Wyoming. Passed the House on third reading. Ayes 44, noes 15, excused 1.
House Joint Resolution Number 9 is assigned to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 29, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 29, sponsored by the Minerals Committee, Uranium Research Center Funds Extension, an Act Relating to Abandoned Mine Land Fund. Passed the House on third reading. Ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1.
House Bill 29 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. House Bill 88, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 88, sponsored by Representative Crone, DUI Penalties, and Act Relating to Motor Vehicles. Passed the House on third reading. Ayes 58, excused 1, conflict 1.
House Bill 88, referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 63, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 63, sponsored by Representative Throne, Child Custody Modification After Military Service, and Act Relating to Child Custody and Visitation. Passed the House on third reading. Ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 63, assigned to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 54, first reading in the House Bill.
House Bill Number 54, sponsored by Representative Berger, Crime Victim Service Providers Reporting, and Act Relating to the Crime Victims Compensation Act. Passed the House on third reading. Ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 54, referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 41, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 41, sponsored by the Select Water Committee, Omnibus Water Bill Planning, an Act Relating to Water Development Project. Passed the House on third reading. Ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 41, assigned to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. House Bill 22, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 22, sponsored by Representative Blake, Gold Star License Plates Expanded Eligibility, and Act Relating to Specialty License Plates. Passed the House on third reading. Ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1.
House Bill 22 has been referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. House Bill 21, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 21, sponsored by Representative McComey, Exceeding Speed Limit While Passing, and Act Relating to Motor Vehicles. Passed the House on third reading. Ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1.
House Bill 21 has been referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, House Bill 15, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 15, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, Insurance, Surplus Lines, and Act Relating to Insurance. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 57, noes 1, excused 1, conflict 1.
House Bill 15 has been referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 5, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 5, sponsored by the Corporations Committee. Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association Limitation and Act Relating to Insurance. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 58. I only got a 9. Ayes 58, excused 1.
House Bill 5 has been referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Reports from standing committees.
February the 23rd, 2012, Mr. President, your Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 79, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Burns, Christensen, Dockstader, Driscoll, Escobel, Senator Burns, Chairman. February the 22nd, 2012, Mr. President, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 71, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Hastert, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, Von Fladern, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February the 22nd, 2012, Mr. President, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 26, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Hastert, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, Von Fladern, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February the 22nd, 2012, Mr. President, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 43, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Hastert, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, Von Fladern, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February the 22nd, 2012, Mr. President, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 36, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Hastert, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, Von Fladern, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February the 22nd, 2012, Mr. President, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 65, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Hastert, Meyer, Nicholas, and Peterson. No, Senator Von Fladern, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February the 23rd, 2012, Mr. President, your Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 36, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Burns, Christensen, Dockstader, Driscoll, and Escobel, Senator Burns, Chairman. February the 23rd, 2012, Mr. President, your Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 10, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senator Burns, Christensen, Dockstader, Driscoll, and Escobel, Senator Burns, Chairman.
Senator Hastert, do you have something for us?
Thank you, Mr. President. May I have privilege of the floor?
Hey.
Members of the Senate, without me over here today, is the President and Vice President of the Wyoming Highway Patrol Association. We have Trooper Barry Tippy and Vice President Tom Adams out of Lander and Trooper Tippy's out of Green River. I'd like you to welcome them to the Senate.
Thank you. Welcome, troopers, and we certainly don't envy you in days like we've been having on the highways lately, but thank you for what you do. Bill's on second reading. Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I would move that Senate File 1 be moved or postponed until immediately following the third reading amendments.
You've all heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion is carried. That Senate File 1 will be laid back. Until after third reading. Other bills on second reading. Senate File 12, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 12, Nuclear Energy Task Force Extension.
No amendments. Senate File 12, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 14, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 14, Nuclear and Hybrid Energy Systems Related Projects.
No amendments. Senate File 14, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 27, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 27, Public Meetings.
No amendments. Senate File 27, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 29, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 29, Spice Definition Amended.
Senate File 29, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 34, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 34, Medicaid Option Study.
There are no amendments. Senate File 34, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 41, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 41, Wolf Management.
There are no amendments. Senate File 41, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 84, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 84, County Commissioners, Special Expertise.
There is an amendment, and that is the Hicks Amendment. I'd ask that that be read in at this time.
Senate File 84, second reading amendment number 1, page 2, line 5.
Senator Hicks, would you like to move the amendment and speak to it, please?
Mr. President, I would like to move the amendment to second standing committee of the whole, second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 84. Members of the body, this is a friendly amendment. I spent the last 24 hours working with the County Commissioners Association and also members in the House to come up with some additional language. And if you'll go to the bill, basically what this does is just adds additional opportunities for county commissioners to be able to produce, to participate in other federal actions. Right now, as the bill is construed today, it would limit those county commissioners to participating in federal land use management planning like forest plans and BLM resource area management plans by including the terminology National Environmental Policy Act in the two sections in this bill. It would also extend that opportunity for county commissioners to participate, and they currently are participating in this arena to deal with things under the Clean Water Act, I would give you the example. We have several counties that are involved. We have a proposal within the state of Wyoming, a large transbasin, trans-state water pipeline to move water across the state of Wyoming. This would afford the county commissioners a legal opportunity to participate in the development of that environmental impact statement. We have numerous counties involved in transmission lines under the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. This inclusion of being able to participate in the National Environmental Policy Act, basically what that does, anytime there's a federal action under NEPA that would trigger an environmental impact statement, it would give those county commissioners the opportunity to participate as a cooperating agency. So with that, Mr. President, I would stand for question and ask the body for a favorable consideration to Amendment 1 to Senate File 84.
Okay, Senator Hicks, I think there is a motion. You asked for a motion on a committee of the whole amendment. Would you move this as the second reading amendment, number one, Senate File 84?
Mr. President, I would ask to move second meeting amendment to Senate File 84, first amendment.
Thank you. Senator Coe, Mr. President, go ahead.
I view this as a friendly amendment. I ask that you support it.
Okay. Other comments in regard to this amendment? Question on the amendment. All those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. This amendment has passed. Second reading, amendment number 84. We're back on the bill. There are no other amendments. Any further conversation? Seeing none. Senate File 84 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 86. Second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 86, Greenhouse Gas Air Quality Regulation.
No amendments. Senate File 86, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Third reading, the regular list. Senate File 105, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 105, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee, School Capital Construction and Act Relating to School Facility Projects, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment, a couple of amendments, in fact. The first amendment is a co-amendment, and I'd ask that that be read in at this time.
Senate File 105, third reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 8.
Senator Coe, would you like to...
Yeah, Mr. President, I would move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 105. This is nothing more than an amendment brought by staff to correct some of the number errors they had in there. It's all it does, just a correction of some technical mistakes. Ask that you approve the amendment.
Any further discussion on this first amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the... third reading amendment number 1, Senate File 105, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That amendment has passed. Our next amendment is the Nicholas Amendment. I'd like to have that amendment read in at this time.
Senate File 105, third reading amendment number 2, delete the Cole B. Bout Rafa second reading amendment.
What's your pleasure, Senator Nicholas?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 105 and ask you to vote yes or aye. The easiest way to take you through this amendment, folks, is to look at the non-official floor copy only. It's the X copy, as my colleague to the left says, but it's not X-rated. Folks, after listening to the debate and considering all of the issues that we had, it seems to me that there's a compromise to be made with respect to the Casper facilities. And fundamentally, part of the problem that I saw and I believe exists as a result of the First Amendment is that we send Casper out with the earlier amendment with Casper not knowing what to do. Are they going to build the CAPS facility? If you say just build Kelly Walsh, does that mean they're not going to get the CAPS facility? Because remember, the square footage that's part of the CAPS facility belongs essentially was segregated out of both Natrona and KW. So they need to know. So, and frankly, I still believe, notwithstanding the debate, that those two schools are in line priority-wise to have these facilities, and the priorities have changed. So here's generally the compromise. In concept, what the amendment does is funds the CAPS facility and Kelly Walsh go forward, remedy those problems. Now, with respect to the design, we said, go ahead, we'll give you the design for the whole package. They're not bundled, but for the whole package, because you have to design both Natrona remedy, KW remedy, and the CAPS facility together, because they're all a combined remedy. You need to know where the students are going to go, how many are going to go to KW, how many are going to go to Natrona. And as you know, they have open enrollments. Are you going to build, split the student body in half and give each half, or are you going to put more in Natrona or more in KW? So the design money remains for all of the facilities. Then with respect to construction dollars, we say, go ahead and build first, we'll fund in the first year of the biennium the funding for the CAPS facility and Kelly Walsh. Then we'll set aside the money for Natrona in the second year of the biennium. So it's not going to be in the first year. So the second year, you get the Natrona in the full amount. With respect to the alternative high school, which is Roosevelt, we're going to delay it and put it on the bubble. The bubble I refer to are the schools at the end that are part of the priority list sent to us, and we're not funding them today. But in this bill, we provide that those will be the next schools funded. As my colleague from Fremont County said, it's time that these people know that they're going to go next. And frankly, you'll see that in order to make the program budget or balance, we've removed Albany County High School and moved it to the bubble. Because of its priority number, it's the top one on the bubble. It won't get funded unless we have more money. I have confidence we will have the money to do that. And I have confidence in all of us that the design money is in for all the design dollars are available for all the bubble schools. The statute says, or this bill says, those bubble schools will be funded next. Now, even though Albany County has a higher priority number, actually I say it's lower, it's more in priority on today's priority list than it does for the Natrona schools. Having said that, until the recent work, Albany County, there was a time where we were behind Natrona. Frankly, it was never our belief that we were going to jump over or hopscotch over Natrona. And by the way, I ascribe to that belief that since the design for the Laramie High School hasn't been completed, it may be that there's $65 million. I don't know if it's going to be $55, $65, or $75. So let's do the full design, and we'll come back and fund the building as it's designed instead of going out and saying you have to design a school to $65. So there's a benefit to Albany County to say, look, we will design it and then ask for the funds. Let me take you to where the changes are to show you how it works through the bill. If you skip over to page 7, you'll see that we're beginning to work there with the top of page 7 is the some of the design projects funding. One of the things what I've asked the staff to do is you look at the top of page 7 and you remember previous, the word previous means that they were assigned numbers by previous, the shuffling, previous indexes. But I've gone ahead and had the staff put in parentheses the current index. So the current needs index, for example, for Campbell, number one, the alternative high school, is 36, even though it's number two. The park, number one, is its present needs index is 57, making it well behind the Natrona schools. And the reason for doing that is sort of a reminder to everybody that these numbers do change. And if everybody wants to promote the current needs index, then park number one should never even get built. But it's going to get built because it was a previously assigned priority. Down at paragraph, or you see down below, now we get into the design projects. Laramie number one, previously it was assigned a high priority, so it's the number one on the list. But today's number, it's 42 in the needs index. But we're still going to fund it. Now, when you go over to page 8, the bottom, now we're talking about those asterisks, remember, are the ones that get prior funding. If you go over to page The construction dollars begin at page 15. Those are the new dollars. Now, incidentally, the total cost of this construction package is $416 million. And at the end of the day, we will still have $214 million left in the goldenrod. On the bottom, we also have $100 million left in the school foundation program account. But you look over on page 16.
Senator DeNicholas, you're coming up on your time. I'll give you up to 2 minutes on your second time.
Thank you. I think I'll just wrap it up pretty quickly here. You've got the concept. Turn over to page 21 where you see the second-year funding for Casper. And then the bubble list starts on page 21, and you see Albany County High School is the top on the bubble list. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Coe.
Thank you, Mr. President. And, you know, we had a great debate on this yesterday and the day before and a number of other places, but you know, the whole thing we talked about was not trying to do something for NCHS and Casper. We're going to do something with that. The problem that we had was it's all happening too fast. And the problem I continue to have is that these projects got put together. Now, we talk about, with this amendment, we take Albany Laramie High School off the project list. That's $62 million, so understand that. But on the needs list currently, Laramie High School is 13 and Natrona is 19. What I have become very concerned about, and I've had conversations with the good senator, if you go to your current goldenrod and you go to page 4, if you adopt this the Nicholas Third Reading Amendment, we will spend about $96 million more than the second reading amendment that passed this body yesterday. So if you go to the bottom under the Common School Permanent Land Fund Holding Account on page 4, you'll see that that 310,292 number does go down to $214 million. But what the Nicholas Third Reading Amendment leaves out is there's $114 million unfunded liability for the schools we are designing, and we say we will visit during the supplemental budget. So then all of a sudden, if you take 114 off that 214, you're left with the balance in that account of 100 million. Now, these estimates don't include any school districts with critical capacity issues. And I want to say the capacity issues are a serious constitutional issue. Very serious. For instance, this morning there's a news report that enrollment is growing for the sixth straight year. We know that Campbell County and Laramie County and possibly Sheridan County have capacity issues and will need to be funded. Conditions of these schools are not that bad, but as I said before, capacity issues are more of a constitutional issue than some of these other schools. So if you go down there as well, and what I'm concerned about, folks, is the school foundation program. Because if you look at projections out there, now remember what I said yesterday, once we reach that $100 million cap that we have in place in the school foundation program, we used to sweep that money to fund Hathaway. After we funded the Hathaway project, we now sweep that money to the school CapCon account. The school foundation program account revenues are probably overstated for 13 and 14, and I think we'll need more from the holding count than the $31.6 million that you'll see under the school capital construction, budget bill 2012 JAC recommendations transfer to the school foundation program. What's the issue here? The issue is we need to slow down. If we're going to be realistic and try to understand what's going on out there with all the revenue projections we're looking at, in school capital construction, school foundation program, the two I'm most concerned about, I don't think we can afford to do all this at one time. Will we do something for NC? Absolutely. No question about it. Let's get Kelly Wall started. I agree with the CAPS project. If you're going to do this, if NC is bought in, if the Natrona County School District's bought into this CAPS project, you have to design Kelly Walls to be part of that. I agree with that. So vote this amendment up, vote it down, but I ask you to proceed cautiously because I think a couple of years down the road we got some problems.
Thank you, Senator Cole. Let's go to Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. One thing you have to remember, too, that there are some funds that aren't profiled, and we don't profile our COLE's bonus monies that come in. And so more likely than not, there'll be about $60 million in there. But we don't do it because we don't know exactly what that's going to be. They've been rising every year over the last few years, so we've been pleasantly surprised each time we've got our COLE's bonuses in. So I think that you can probably add about $60 million to that number. But I think it's important that you're going to realize that you can't not have Natrona in the design phase because they're in Casper. It's a community, I think, situation where you've got to determine where the kids are, where they're going, and you have to understand we should at least get that design phase in there and get the whole package designed. I agree with you that, yeah, we're coming into some times that could be precarious. But I think that at this point in time, that if you add in the extra $60 million, it'll probably come in from COLE's bonuses. I think this is a reasonable compromise.
Senator Cole, this be your second time.
Briefly, if you remember the amendment yesterday, there's $15 million in there for the Natrona design phase and a total of 11.5 for Kelly Walsh. So the CAPS project can be designed with that design money.
Senator, I'm done. I'm going to go to Senator Scott. Go ahead, Senator Scott, and then we'll go to Senator Roth.
Mr. President, this isn't everything we wanted from Natrona County, but I think it's a reasonable compromise that works and makes sense. It does slow things down a bit because we don't fund everything. I think the prospects are such that the next schools that are coming along the pipeline will get funded without any great difficulty. So I would urge the Senate to adopt this as a reasonable compromise.
Thank you.
Senator Ross, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm for this amendment. I think this is a reasonable compromise, and I agree that it doesn't necessarily get everything exactly how perhaps it should be and should have been, but it certainly satisfies the major concern, which was the bundling aspect, and it basically does that by switching two schools as to who gets to be on the bubble. I mean, that's the essence of this amendment. It's whether we have Natrona on the bubble or whether we have Laramie High School, Albany County 1, on the bubble. And, you know, both my colleague from Albany County and I both believe that this is a reasonable solution. We both support this solution, and it really is a bubble switch. And I'm certainly sensitive to my chairman from education's concerns about slowing this down because we do need to look at the long-term viability of this. And we've definitely been spending at a pretty significant pace in recent years. And if we're going to have revenue slow down, we probably need to slow down that pace. But I'm not convinced we need to necessarily do it in this biennium, but we might need to really be putting out that message for the next biennium that we can't necessarily spend at the same level we've been spending if we don't see better revenue, Mr. President. So I certainly support this compromise. I think it's good for both the Natrona community, and it'll be good for the Albany County community as well. So I hope the body will support this amendment as a good compromise and move forward.
Senator Bebout, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. just a couple things that I think that we should be very aware of, and my colleague from Park County brought it up with your goldenrod, and when you look at this and the funding mechanism, don't forget that the property taxes that fund our school foundation program and our capital construction count are delayed a year, so we're not seeing the impact of the price of natural gas. So what you don't see here is what that will reflect on us, and I think there's some real concern that I think we all should be very conscious of about the funding levels in the future. The other thing we're doing, and when we vote for, if you vote for this amendment, and it's certainly something that it'll go up or down, is to understand that for NCHS, we're buying into the plan they submitted to the School Facilities Commission that they want to preserve that institution. You know, it's a wonderful place. My wife went to school there. You know, if that's what the body wants to do, understand that you're doing that. And I don't know what the number is. I think it's around $20 or $25 million extra that we as a body are deciding to do for that particular school. You know, have we done that in the past? I think we probably have, but I can't remember where we spent that kind of money to preserve an institution. But that's a choice that we're going to make today. And if you vote for this, that's the choice you're making. Be sure you understand that. And the other thing is that let's leave, and whatever this does, and we talked about it yesterday, and I think the critical thing that we should all do is we do have a list. And I would argue that we shouldn't put Albany on the bubble, but that's what this amendment says. But when we come back with the funding we have, let's remember what we've done here so we don't have this discussion again and go through this all the next time we come back with a supplemental budget. Thank you.
Other comments in regard to the amendment? I'm going to go Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, I draw the Senate's attention to page 5 of the amendment, the delayed enactment. Mr. President, this legislation of honoring the concept of a balanced budget. And when you put in statute, by delaying the effective date, you are saying we are committing future revenues a year from now to honor this commitment that's contained in this amendment. It's not exactly borrowing, but it's a very clever way to borrow money against the future revenues of this state. That's what it does. That's the effect. The word borrow doesn't come up, but you're saying we're going to reach out to potential revenue a year from now and grab it, put it in this bill. No, it's not borrowing. But we don't use the word borrow, but that's what it is. Let me suggest to you, the goldenrod is based on $3 in MCF gas. I will tell you, I do not believe, and I think you can confirm this, at either hub in Wyoming, there is no $3.25 MCF gas going out now, and there has not been for quite some time. And the projections are we're not going to see it for quite some time. So you're borrowing against a revenue stream that isn't there. I urge you, let's not go down that road. Let's take our time. Let's do it orderly. But above all, don't reach out and grab revenue for this year and say we're going to use it. It's bad policy. We've never done it. And all of a sudden, I see us going down that road. I urge you to vote against the amendment.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. One of the things that we have to remind ourselves of when we start comparing and looking at the price tag of any of the schools in Natrona County, Natrona County has 15% of the students in the state of Wyoming. It's a big community. I mean, Cheyenne is another example. If we're not careful, Campbell County is going to be another one. We're growing. When you do that and you just say, well, this is a lot of money, it is a lot of money. There's a lot of students there. I agree we ought to slow things down. And I agree with my colleague from Johnson County that we're looking out there on projections. That's how we balance our budget. It's always been go get the Craig report, figure out how much. And they've always been pretty accurate, but now they have some factors in there that they didn't expect, and we're going to see an adjustment in that. But we're always working ahead with those projections on what we should have. Natrona County has been on this process for years. They've done everything that they've been told to do, and then some. At the last minute, because of a change in management and requirements of management, they had a last-minute one pulled on him, on them and put in there. They did it. They went and got their ed spec at a considerable amount of money because it was rush because of the department's condition for them to go forward on it. One way or another, you're going to have to do something with Natrona County. If you vote no on this, you're shutting them down. It's kind of like the good senator from Laramie back there started out with. You're not giving them any direction. All you're doing is saying, we're going to pull back, and you need to get in line and keep pounding away at it again, and we'll give them another set of rules to fall under. If we get out there, and I have to kind of agree on reaching out there on the money, but when you have these great big projects, this is a problem we've run into with facilities, is that you look at this project and it's going to be an enormous amount of money. And so we cut them up into pieces, the stage one. Well, then that didn't work because then stage two in a town got kind of moved around and they had their parking lot full of dirt and they couldn't really even do it. We had to come in and fix that. We still have a lot of work to do on school facilities and figure out how to come up with the list, come in there, and make it right every time when we come here and present it to you. There shouldn't be this debate. You should have school facilities walk in and hand you the list, and you should be confident that that's the list. But until we quit putting new rules on their table, changing the formula, that's not going to happen. And when we finally find a director and a management and the rules that they work under and put them in place, then that will cut down on it too. But we haven't got that today. What we have is a school district that we told to go out and be innovative, go out and figure out how to educate their kids the best way, and that's what they did, and they've been working years on this thing. You can vote this amendment down, and they're just right. You haven't told them what to do. They're back there sitting at the commission's desk saying, what is it? What is it you want us to do now? I'd vote for the amendment.
Other comments in regard to the amendment? Go ahead, Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and for the amendment, it certainly is. I'm not going to belabor those points that have already been made. I think it's not ideal, but it's a reasonable compromise, and we appreciate the good senator from Fremont County and the good senator from Albany County and their efforts on this. We appreciate the cooperation on this. But just to direct the point, I just wanted to be clear when we talk about going out and capturing or borrowing against the future, I think it's really important, and I think it escapes, I don't think it escapes members of this body, but it may in the general public. We're reaching out and banking on everything in the fiscal profile except for about carryovers. We go out, and if you go look at your credit report and you go down, it's interesting, it's should be notable when you go down and look at the Kirk report, and look at the page that's got all the projections on it of severance tax, sales and use tax, permanent trust fund income, pooled income, various charges and sales and services, franchise tax, revenue from other sources, penalties and interest, federal grants and aids. It's only actual received when after you've gotten it. If you go down and look at the line, and we're budgeting for the 2013-2014 biennium, everything on here is projected. So we are, everybody, and that's the nature of government. We're betting on the come. We're betting on the line. We're putting our best bet out there. We're putting our best educated guess down. We roll the dice with the budget. We hope that it comes. What happens if it doesn't work? Well, we saw that a couple years ago. You come back, the governor at that time put a 10%. We said we got to cut 10% out in the second year of the biennium. Now, so that's what happened. We've got contingency plans now that if these revenue projections that we have in Craig, as we think they're going to come in, that's why we've got a 2% projection. Everybody's had in their budget cuts. We're looking at having a 2-4% cut in the next biennium because our bets on what may happen in the future may not be accurate. So when we look at that, it is. It should give us pause because none of this money is in the bank except for the permanent trust fund, those other funds that generate money that come in. None of this is in the bank. We hope that it comes in. We hope and we try and guess what our prices are. We hope that people buy things and pay sales tax. We make our best guesses based on our crystal ball for the economic future, based on the experience of the past. But make no mistake about it, everything in our budget is somewhat borrowing on the future. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Other comments? Before the sponsor takes his final, seeing none, I guess we'll go to Mr. Vice President. Final comments.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would take issue with the notion that we're borrowing against anything. What we're doing is we're budgeting against forecasted revenues. These are the forecasted revenues. And we have budgeted within the forecasted revenues, but we've laid back the NCHS for the second year of the biennium. What does that mean? That means if we, between now and the time we come back, if the forecasted revenues drop to a point that we can't pay for it, we don't construct it. Those of us that were here 3 or 4 years ago will remember that we forecasted and we had in the pipeline several capital construction projects that were taken off the list by the governor during the year because the forecasted revenues didn't arrive. This is what we do. We make budgets for projected expenditures made it on projected revenues. Right now, these are our projected revenues, and we're making projected expenditures. And if the projections don't hold, we make adjustments. With respect to the capacity issues, you know, everybody can come in and talk about constitutionalities, but truthfully, these folks are up. They were in priority, and part of the reason they are in priority because they have capacity issues. This is a reasonable compromise, and as stated by my colleague from Fremont County, the bill says these are the ones that get funded next in order, and any reshuffling should take place after these. These are locked in, including Albany County and including the Roosevelt element or facility in the back. Even if they don't get funded this biennium, they should be up first on the next list. I urge your support. Ask you to vote aye.
There's a question being called. There is a significant amount of money in this amendment. I'm going to ask the chief clerk to call the roll. In regard to third reading amendment number 2, Senate file 105, chief clerk, please call the roll.
Barnard. Bebout. Burns. Case. Okay. Christensen. Coe. Cooper. Dockstader. Driscoll. Amrick. Esquivel. Geis. Hastert. Hicks. Hines. Jennings. Johnson. Landon. Martin.
No.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
No.
Scott.
Aye.
Bonflatern.
No.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote. Bebout. Aye to no. Closing. Barnard, aye to no. Closing. Vote closed. 18 ayes, 12 noes.
By your vote, second reading amendment, or third reading amendment number 2, House Bill 105 has passed. We are now back on the bill. I don't believe there are any other amendments. Senate file 105, having been read 3 separate times, question is, shall a bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
Aye.
Esquivel. Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings. Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Bonflaturn.
Aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 no.
Senate file 105. Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate file 105 has passed the Senate. Back on the budget bill. Yes, Senator Meyer, go ahead.
May I privilege the floor?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the Senate, above the Senate in the balcony up there, are a group of individuals from across the state representing the Wyoming Ag Leadership Program. Cindy Gerritsen-Weibel is the director up there, and there's a couple of folks here on the floor that actually had the opportunity to attend that leadership program. Senator Driscoll and myself. It's a really good program. It goes across the state, learns a lot about Wyoming, learns a lot about government, learns a lot about the nation's government, and actually some world interaction also. So please help me welcome them to the Senate.
Senate File 1, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 1, General Government Appropriations.
And there are some amendments. Okay, the first amendment to second reading amendment number one is the Nicholas Amendment, and we would call upon Senator Nicholas to move the amendment.
We have to read it in.
Oh, after having read it in.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number one, multiple budgets affected technical corrections.
Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number one to Senate File 1 and ask that you vote aye. These are technical corrections that the staff has just collected through. You can read through them and understand them as easily as I can read out there. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them, but otherwise I'd ask that you vote aye.
If I read this correctly, I don't believe there's any change. Is there any change in increase? Yes. This requires a roll call. I'd ask that the chief clerk call a roll in regard to this first Nicholas Amendment.
Yes. Technical.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins. Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Bonflaturn,
aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
That amendment has passed. Second reading amendment number two. Chief Clerk will please read that amendment in. That is the Schiffer amendment.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 2, budget affected state park cultural resources.
Go ahead, Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 1. Mr. President, what this does is add $2 million to the Cultural Trust Fund. It was the governor's recommendation, and somehow it slipped out through the cracks from the second floor meeting room of appropriations. Mr. President, what this does, the corpus of this trust remains inviolate. They take the interest off of it, and they promote cultural activities around this state that are so unique to each of our communities. Mr. President, let me give you some examples. In your own community, they went in and helped re-roof the Douglas Officers Club from the prisoner of war camp. That was your cultural trust. They moved on around the state. They went up to Natrona County and provided a sizable grant for the Casper Children's Theater so that could keep going. That's an outreach program. Those kids come and sing and educate in all of our schools, but it's based in Natrona County. They went up into Park County, into my good rotund colleague from up in Park County's area, and renovated, helped renovate the Japanese internment center there. I don't know if you had an opportunity to go there, and they dedicated that. Some of the internees came back and revisited that spot. It was just amazing. They went over into Crook County and helped with the restoration and protection of the Boer Buffalo Jump, one of the unique antique sites that we have in this county. They went down into Albany County and helped with the rejuvenation of the Laramie's Railroad District. And Railroad District in Albany County was unique, particularly it was a center of commerce virtually day and night when it was booming. It was just a great economic center. And they've restored that. And it's there. It's part of our history. They went over into Fremont County and sent some people up a mountain for to go back and look at how the prehistoric Indians lived there. It's a unique site, possibly in the world, but certainly in the United States. And these folks climbed up 10,700 feet. I got to admit, I didn't lead them up there, but even though they asked me, but they went up there, and they gathered some unique things, the artifacts, to study how people lived at that altitude. Mr. President, I think that gives you some idea of the diversity that they're promoting across this state to try and keep our cultures alive, because cultures is part of what we are. This is an investment in the future. They leverage their money over the years. They have put this money out in every single county, projects that merited it. The corpus currently has $14.4 million in it. They've awarded for this past year 36 different grants, of which I just gave you a sampling, but I think it illustrates the diversity and the efforts that they put in to protect our heritage, our culture, and our economic conditions. I ask for your support. It's one-time funding that will multiply over the years. Thank you, Mr.
Senator.
President.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. And on and against the amendment, folks, it is true that the governor did make a recommendation for an additional contribution into the Cultural Trust Fund. The JAC concluded that this is not the right year to put more money into this particular trust fund. We did put some funds in some trust funds, but this was one we rejected. And It is true that I don't think anybody denies that when that oversight committee does puts the money into the areas of promoting our culture, they do some wonderful things. I'll tell you also that this year there was great controversy with respect to the payment of an artist from overseas to come over and develop what's called a carbon sink. And I challenge anybody to see how that promotes the culture of Wyoming on campus. And so it sure appears to us like maybe they've got some excess revenues, but this is the year we said perhaps we should slow it down and we'll resume contributions in the future when the funding is our budget looks brighter. I urge a vote no.
Thanks, Senator. Senator Burns, go ahead.
Mr. President, on and for the amendment. Mr. President, on the topic of the sculpture, the carbon sink sculpture, true, some of that money came from the Cultural Trust Fund, but nobody connected with the Cultural Trust Fund knew exactly what that was, what the exact sculpture was going to be for. And as a matter of fact, the only parties that seemed to know it other than the artist were in the university itself. So if you're going to take $2 million away from somebody, you should probably take it away from the university. That's a whole different topic, and that's not what I'm suggesting. But I don't think the entire Cultural Trust Fund, as the good senator from KC described it, from all over the state, frankly, should be punished for some decisions that a few people in Laramie made because they used some Cultural Trust Fund money to do that. This really is a good program, and it's kind of like for the great works, great historic sites and great works of art that we put out in Wyoming and some of the great things that you see here. This is kind of like the farm team. This funds the children and nurtures them. It's for the kids.
Senator Scott. Mr. President, neither for or against the amendment, and I'm trying to make up my mind. These trust funds work in different ways, and I'm trying to figure out how this one works. Is this one of those where they can only spend money out of it upon further legislative appropriation, or is it one where there's a body that can authorize, if we put this in the trust funds like a general appropriation, they can spend the money? So that's one question. Second, it's not a constitutional fund, so I presume if they can't spend the money and we were to get in trouble in a future year, we could reach in and draw it back. And if those two conditions are true, that it takes a further legislative appropriation to actually spend it, then I think this makes a good deal more sense in a tight budget year where we're worried not so much about what's happening this next year, but what happens after this next year. If that's not true, then we're really appropriating to a current expenditure. And that's what I would like, Mr. President, when the proponent takes his second time to know.
Other questions before the sponsor takes his second shot? Go ahead, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. And something that I could probably look up, but I'm sure the sponsor already has the information. I just did a quick calculation that even a 5% return on $14.4 million is $720,000. I'm not sure what the current income stream is. The sponsor may have that available, but if it is around that $720,000, that's an awful lot of culture. So I think we're in pretty good shape at today's current amount. We'd just be adding $100,000 a year to that, so you take from 720 to 820. You know, times are tough, guys. We got to start making some decisions, and this is one of the decisions your appropriations committee made. Is that we felt that there was enough revenue in there to take care of the things that were really important to our culture, and maybe that this is one of the places where we should hold the line.
Other comment, questions? Go ahead, second time, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, it was said that's a lot of culture. Mr. President, some of us broke down all ranchers need a lot of culture.
Uh, Other comments before Senator Schiffer stands for his final shot? Go ahead, Senator Schiffer. Looks like you're up.
Mr. President, for my second time, let me respond to some of the questions. These grants, they may only spend the interest off of it. That's what they do. They have meetings and they prioritize and work their magic. And then they say, these are the grants. In fact, when they give one of these grants, it is, in great part, really it's seed money. Usually it's leveraged 6-1. And that, the six is local resources, local people buying in, and the Cultural Trust Fund helps seed those ventures, whether it's over in Crook County or wherever it is. It helps your local communities promote and enhance and nurture their culture. In terms of the status of the trust, it is a statutory trust. If at any time the legislature wishes, we can go in and take all of the trust out, all $14 million, or we can take this $2 million back, or anything else. It is a statutory trust. It's available, and I agree with my colleague. Otherwise, I would not be promoting this amendment. It is there, but I believe this is a magnificent usage of funds. But understand, we can go in. What we give into the trust, we can take back out. It just takes a statutory change. I ask for your support.
Second reading amendment number 2. I believe it's time for the chief clerk to take call roll, please.
Barnard. Bebout. No. Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
No.
Dockstader.
No.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
No.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geist.
No.
Hastert. Hicks,
no.
Hines,
no.
Jennings,
no.
Johnson,
no.
Landon,
no.
Martin,
no.
Meyer,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Nutting,
no.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Ross,
no.
Rothfuss,
no.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Bonflatern,
no.
President Anderson,
no.
Barnard, Hastert, aye to no. Christensen, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 7 ayes, 23 noes.
Second reading amendment 10 number 2 has failed. We are now second reading amendment number 3. That's the Christensen amendment, and I'd ask that that be read in at this time.
Senate File 1, Second Reading Amendment Number 3, Budgets Affected, 24 State Parks Cultural Resources.
What's your pleasure, Senator Christensen?
Mr. President, I move Second Reading Amendment Number 3 to Senate File 1. Members of this of the Senate, what you have in front of you for Section 24, State Parks and Cultural Resources, this is about the operating support grant funding. Over on page 22, line 19, we insert $250,000. On page 23, after line 11, we insert these words: "If this general fund appropriation, $250,000, shall only be expended for the purposes of the Wyoming Art Council operating support grant funding, this appropriation shall be considered one-time funding and shall not be included in the department's 2015-2016 standard budget request." Members, today, let me get this mic. The Arts Council's been around since 1967. In fiscal year 11, they awarded $1.3 million of state and federal funds through the grants programs. These funds were matched locally by $18.5 million in cash and $3 million in donated services, almost a 22-1 match. The Wyoming Arts Council grants are a great investment. The organizations, this operating support grant is only $250,000. It goes to funding these different programs that apply for it. All the organizations that have received this funding also have arts and education programming, remember, for the children? Be there. And they provide residencies in schools throughout the state. This also addresses our number two primary function of the Department of State Parks and Cultural Resources, customer service and outreach, providing high-quality access to Wyoming's cultural, natural, and recreational resources and opportunities. The programs that have benefited around this state include our community symphony organizations, art centers, museums, community theaters, arts councils, and film festivals throughout the state. If I could just briefly refer to Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Starting at the bottom, we have breathing, food, water, and so forth. And then, number two, safety for our body, our employment, our resources, the family. And then number three, love, friendship, family. And I'm leaving a few of these out, but that's okay. This is kind of a censored version. Number four, esteem, self-esteem, confidence, achievement, respect for others. Ladies and gentlemen, those four, first four really apply to me individually, to you individually. They're really focused on us. Now, number five, the top one, self-actualization, morality, creativity, spontaneity, problem-solving, lack of prejudice, and acceptance of facts. This request goes right to that top one. Let me go back over those, and there's a couple here. Problem-solving, creativity, lack of prejudice. Ladies and gentlemen of the body here, of the Senate, this is really, I think, if you look at yourselves, it's this last point of development that has really helped each one of you become so successful in your communities, and you are sent forward to share that success, to share your experiences, help resolve problems. This is what this $250,000 addresses. We mix it throughout the state. The opportunity is there. It reaches across our state. We can say it's for the children, but it's for the residents. It's for the people, and it goes to topping off that recognized hierarchy of needs. I'd encourage you to support this.
Senator Nicholas, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. On against the amendment, folks, the Wyoming Arts Council has a budget of a total of $3.7 million, of which $2.3 million are general fund. Their grants and aid payment, that is the dollars that they can do these types of projects, is $1.954 million already in the budget. And like everyone else, every agency would like to top off the gas can, so to speak. I'd urge you to vote no.
I'm going to go to Senator Cohen, then I'll go to Senator Hicks.
So, Mr. President, rising in support of the amendment, I think this is for operation support only. This is not where you go out and just, you know, have somebody give you some money. You have to have a well-qualified operation to do this. What is good about this amendment is that this is designated to get into the smaller communities in particular, where you have small arts organizations that do things, get into the schools, do a lot of stuff like that. Arts is so important, I think, and we do things for cities, towns, and counties on distributions because that's infrastructure. What we're talking about here is infrastructure and quality of life, particularly in the small communities. This is for operation support. We started supporting this 2 years ago. I've got a great arts organization up in my little community, and I tell you, they are dependent upon this. The donations and public support aren't there like they used to be. We see it at our museum in Cody. Times are a little tougher. The arts, they get into the schools, they have programs that are worthwhile. They do tremendous things in these smaller communities in the state of Wyoming for quality of life. We're asking for $250,000 to sustain this. Program's been going on for two years, and I ask that you support the amendment. I think it's worthwhile, particularly for the small communities.
Thank you. Senator Hicks, go ahead.
President, on and against the amendment, and I have no prejudice from the senator from Idaho. Members of the body, I would ask you to help me with my self-esteem and vote no on this amendment.
Second time, Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just to reflect on a couple of the comments that were made, the good senator from Laramie, Albany County, he talked about gas, that everybody wants to top off their gas tanks. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is, as our senator from the Northwest stated, this is about operating support. It's the most difficult and important type of funding. I want to go back to that gas model. We can have the kids in the bus. We can have the nicest bus out there. But if we don't have the gas in the tank, that operating capital, we're not going to get those children out into this beautiful world and experience the arts and develop those skills which are so necessary for success in their lives and in the history and the life of this state.
Second reading amendment number 3. I'd ask the chief clerk to call roll.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper? No. Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
No.
Amrick?
No.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson? Landon,
no.
Martin,
no.
Meyer,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Nutting,
no.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Ross,
no.
Rothfuss,
no.
Schiffer,
no.
Scott,
no.
Von Flatern,
no.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 10 ayes, 20 noes.
Second reading amendment number 3 has failed. Second reading amendment number 4, that is the Rothfuss amendment. I ask that be read in at this time.
I have number 34.
Oh, 34, I'm sorry.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 34, budget affected, 27 School Facilities Commission.
Go ahead, Senator Rothfuss. I'm going to say this again to make the record clear. Senate and reading amendment number 34. Go ahead, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President.
On line 8, it should say page 23, line 17, rather than line 13. That's being corrected in the office. As I said, this relates to the School Facilities Commission, and I believe to Maslow's hierarchy levels number 3 and 4. What this does, Mr. President, specifically, is fund a leasing arrangement by one of our charter schools, in particular one of the charter schools in my district. This charter school has been funded for its maintenance, major maintenance, and for leasing arrangements under a budget footnote, as we're seeing here, for quite some time based on their unique arrangement. There aren't a lot of charter schools in the state, Mr. President, and so we've had unique arrangements in some circumstances based on the fact that they have to fund themselves for the first 3 years now, and then after that they continue on their lease arrangement. When you're looking specifically at the amendment, Mr. President, lines 15 through 31, little one here, looks at the leasing and basically indicates the level of funding that the School Facilities Commission shall allow to continue the lease and operation of this school based on the contract that's currently established for that charter school. Looking below for lines 33 to 45, the little two here, this is a discussion of how major maintenance is handled for that school. Again, Mr. President, this is simply in accordance with current statute, but due to the anomalous nature of charter schools, it ends up coming as a footnote rather than a line item, which is probably something we should find a way to deal with better in the future, but haven't yet. Something new, though, Mr. President, is on the second page, the little three. Again, this is a unique situation where this particular school is leasing a portion of a very large building in Laramie, and the owner of that building is interested in at some point either selling or renegotiating that lease. So the third aspect of this asks the School Facilities Commission to look into whether it would be more cost effective for the state of Wyoming to purchase this building or to continue to lease this building or possibly even to move somewhere else. So basically, is it cost effective for us to own this building rather than lease this building in the long term? It doesn't commit to a solution. It asks that the School Facilities Department comes back to Joint Appropriations Committee, no later than September 15th, 2012, to provide that recommendation and then consider whether or not to move forward, based on that recommendation. So, Mr. President, this is basically the means we're using to fund the leasing and major maintenance for one particular charter school based on the agreement that they've negotiated, which is a unique agreement, back in my home county. And I'd ask for a favorable consideration by the Senate and certainly would be willing to answer any further questions. Thank you.
Mr. President, I'd like to ask for this amendment to be divided. The first division is lines 1 through, on page 1, 1 through 45. And the second division is page 2, lines 1 through 32.
Clearly divisible. Would you like to speak to either division?
On page 1, I think this is a wonderful idea and brilliant and all, and I'm all for it.
Go ahead, Senator Emmerich. And again, we'll just remind ourselves, Division 1 is essentially the first page, lines 1 through 45, second division being second page, lines 1 through 32.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just have a question. I want to clarify that this has been a previous footnote on budgets to fund the leases. Is that previous item? I don't know well enough.
Senator Nicholas, go ahead.
These footnotes have been carried on for about 5 to 6 years. The statutes provide for lease payments after 3 years. The difficulty is when you go to the school facilities regulations, for those of you who recall, we restricted leasing, particularly for the bus barns, to triple net leases to cover all of the cost of the lease. For these two facilities, and there are actually two, that's the clarification. There's a younger charter school in one of our renovated community centers, and then there's a second. For these facilities, what the provision is that notwithstanding the requirement that you have to get a triple net lease, we recognize in these two instances you cannot secure the triple net leases because you do have, they're simply different than what we're lined out for bus barns. So we've carried these amendments through, and frankly, it's part of that harmonious sort of, we want to support charter schools, but we don't want to commit ourselves to going out and building a bunch of new schools. So we've kind of controlled the valve through these footnotes.
Further comment, Senator Hines.
Mr. President, a question on the division. If I understand and following it correctly, if amendment division one would fail, Division 2 does not have any heading for the department or anything. So I'm wondering if the division should start on, like, line 6 through 45 rather than line 1.
I believe that's correct. So as a matter of correction, that division would start on line 6. Rather than line 1. Is everyone up to speed in regard to what that change, Vision 1 now goes line 6, line 45. Further discussion. Let's focus on Division 1. Go ahead, Senator. Yes, go ahead.
Mr. President, where then?
Just a minute, Senator Office. Let me.
President, based on that redivision concept, I believe lines 1 through 6 are sort of stranded.
The way that's divided, then I think line 1 through 6 would apply to both divisions.
If that can be done, Mr. President, that's
acceptable. I think that that's appropriate, that lines 1 through 6 would apply to both divisions, and that would then enable them to stand alone given the that condition. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I would suggest line 13 as well needs to apply to both divisions. Because that's the lead into either one. I think if that applies to both divisions, then this works.
That's true. So 1 through 6, line 13, apply to both divisions, enabling them then to stand alone in the... Okay. Now, let's speak to the first division and see if we can get back on track here. Go ahead, Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just trying to track this through and come to a little better understanding in my mind as to what we're doing. This looks like it's specific to one facility in one county. That's my first question. The second part of that is why, again, is this this has never come to school facilities that I've been aware of. And why is it something that comes through as a budget amendment? It's a sizable amount of money each year, and it just seems like that's something that we could have come through a better process with. But are we talking about one facility in one county? Is that what this is about here? Or we've got other charter schools, right, Mr. President?
Division.
Yeah, go ahead.
Folks, this academy is identical to the Casper Academy, except that yours is a school of choice. The one in Laramie is a charter school. Yours is funded through the facilities. Because of the charter school statutes, because of we're not trying to allow, for example, small districts to create a charter school and build a school, we put regulations on the construction and leasing of facilities. And what we do is pick up the leasing going forward after 3 to 4 years of operation, after we know the charter schools are successful and they've worked. Now the difficulty is when you go to the Facilities Commission, when they created their regulations years ago, and was particularly to address the leasing of facilities like bus barns, in order to make sure that there was one lease payment, they required a triple net lease. And as a practical matter, these schools have to negotiate their leases from commercial entities before they even get into the pipeline of being a charter school. So these appropriations have been appropriated through the legislature. Now these have been through the Facilities Commission, but you go back years ago, over and over, but they don't have a statutory mechanism. It has to go through the budget. The only way to change this would be to go to change the charter school statutes, which becomes complicated. So this picks up. Now, it applies to all charter schools in the state. There's only one that exists that meets this qualifications. Happens to be in Albany County.
Okay, Senator Rossus. Is there any other comments, questions before Senator Rossus does his? Go ahead, Senator.
Mr. President, this is just one further clarification about the ambiguity between 1 and 2. We have two charter schools currently, Mr. President. One of them statutorily falls under this first division right now based on the fact that it is older than 3 years. The other one is still younger than 3 years and won't fall under this leasing aspect I believe, within the next biennium, although I would have to check the dates on that. But it does, this statute would apply to all of the charter schools that are leasing. As my colleague pointed out, it just so happens that there are only two of those, and only one of them is currently statutorily required.
Okay, I think that we're ready to vote on Division 1. And before we vote, Division 1 would be lined 6 through 45, and then it would be prefaced with the attachments of line 1 through 6 and 13. That's what you're voting on. It is an increase and would require a roll call vote, Division 1.
Barnard, Bebout, Burns, Case, Christensen, Coe, Cooper, Dockstader, Driscoll, Amrick, Esquibel, Geis, Hastert, Hicks, Hines, Jennings, Johnson, Landon, Martin, Meyer, Nicholas, Nutting, Perkins, Peterson, Ross, Rothfuss, Schiffer, Scott, Von Platern, President Anderson.
No.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 23 ayes, 7 noes.
All right, by your vote, Division 1 has passed. We are now on Division 2. Is everyone clear in regard to Division 2? If so, I won't repeat that division. It appears everyone is clear, so we're going to move forward on discussion of Division 2. Go ahead, Senator Nicholas.
Mr. President, I just wanted to explain the facts to lay it out for discussion so folks understand. Charter schools are schools within a school or within a district, and they are public schools, and they're within it. So the charter school that you see driving into Laramie is part of the Albany County Public School System. Now, that charter school then works with the five-year plan with the school district, so they have to work with the district. Presently, the Albany County School District intends, and they have on schedule, a replacement of an elementary school. And their proposal is that elementary school would become available for the charter school, and then in their five-year plan, the state comes in and remodels that for the charter school. Now, we've been through great debate. You know that going in and remodeling a school is about $300 a square foot. Very expensive. And part of the reason is because when we build these schools, we build them to 50-year standards. We're building rocks to last forever. Now, the charter school would prefer to be where they are now because if they go into the existing neighborhood school, then they become a neighborhood school instead of a school of choice. Now, if there is some indication that this building that they're in, which is not a 50-year building, it's a sort of a big box store built for probably 20 years, and you got to maintain them. And they're perfectly happy with this less expensive solution. And there's some indication the assessed valuation of that building is about $3.8 million. You've seen the monies for the remodeling of an elementary school. You know that we're talking $8 to $10 million. Who knows whether this opportunity may or may not exist to acquire the building. There is a commercial lessee in it, so the idea is that if it's available for the right price and it would be a cost savings to the taxpayers, go ahead and acquire that, have the Facilities Commission run the lease, the commercial lease out. They take the income up, and when the commercial lessees leave, then the building would be turned over to the district. But they wouldn't be getting a building that's a 50-year-old rock. They'd be getting this building. But this charter school loves where they are, perfectly happy with a less expensive alternative.
Senator Schiffer, Division 2, go ahead.
Mr. President, and I commend my colleague from Albany County. He laid out my reservations exactly, that we're starting down a road where a charter school, and they've got a building leased, it's whatever it is, and we're going to pick up and have to buy that school. That's where we're headed with this, and maybe that's a good idea. But understand, once we own the school, we're either going to have to maintain it to our standards, or, I don't know, what we do, go buy, build them another one that's to the 50-year. We're starting down a road, my caution is, that it worries me about where we'll end up and who's driving the bus when we go down that road. It's very likely to be the board, the operating board of a charter school that starts dictating what our buildings are going to look like that we will own. And that makes me nervous. Probably the right way to do this, if this is the direction we want to go, is let's assign it to an interim committee, have them look at it, lay out a roadmap or a blueprint on how you do this that makes sense so that we know what we're committing to. And granted, we got just one charter school. Well, we got two charter schools, but one that's eligible. And I'm okay with that, but that isn't to say we won't have more charter schools and more requests of this nature down the road. Let's step back, think about it, and try and do it right so that both charter schools or the next 20 charter schools know exactly how to go about doing this. Let's also protect the interests of all the other residents of the state while we're doing it. It may be a great idea, but this is not the way to do it, to implement a policy with the long-reaching ramifications that this paragraph has. I urge you to vote this portion of the amendment down.
Further discussion on the second division, Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. First time on the second division. Mr. President, I'm certainly sympathetic and understanding of what the good senator from KC is saying, but this is basically the equivalent of an interim study. It says, see if this is an economically feasible approach that's in the best interest of the state. Come back to JAC and tell them whether it is, and if so, we can act on it. I think that's a pretty reasonable approach, and I think it's consistent exactly with what the good senator said. Now, if this said, let's buy the building, I can see where we'd have a serious reservation. But asking some responsible parties to look into whether or not we should buy the building at this time is not really diving down a road very fast. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further discussion? Without objection, looking at this second part, it contains no. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Senator Nicholas.
Folks, just a point of note that not all charter schools are alike, and that's the difficulty. And we've been through two interim studies now to try to sort out how you fund schools, and we are where we are. There was a budget footnote on this budget, on our last budget, directing the School Facilities Commission to go out and find out what the cost-effective solution is. I just note with respect to this one, this one has been going on for, this has been operating in 10 years, and all identical purposes, it looks like the Casper Academy. This state built Casper's Academy, a 50-year-old beautiful building, and in this instance, there's a less cost-effective, maybe, we might end up building. This may not be cost-effective, but in this instance, 10 years of operation, they're doing everything we've asked them. They've got great PAWS scores. Kids are flourishing in it, much like you see in the Casper Academy. It needs to have a solution, and it does have a solution. It's on board to move through a very expensive alternative. So the taxpayer is going to pay for the building no matter what. Its question is, can we find a less expensive alternative more quickly?
Thank you. Containing no appropriation without objection, I'd call for a voice vote on the second portion of this amendment. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That portion of the amendment, portion 2, has passed. Second reading amendment number 34 has passed in its entirety. Next amendment for consideration, second reading amendment number 4.
Senate file 1, second reading amendment number 4, budgets affected, number 29, Wyoming Water Development Office.
Which pleasure, Senator Von Platern.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 4 to Senate file 1. and ask for your aye vote. All this is a technical change that takes the water that's the amount of money in the budget that's dedicated to the water project and references the bill that we passed last year. And that's all this does, just to make sure it references. It's really a cleanup of the a technical cleanup of the bill. I ask for your aye vote.
Further discussion? Amendment has passed. Next amendment for our consideration, second reading amendment number 5. I'd ask that be read in this time.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 5, budgets affected, number 45, Department of Transportation.
What's your pleasure, Senator Schiffer?
Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 5 to Senate File 1. Mr. President, this goes to the, it's a footnote to the Department of Transportation budgets. And what it does is it asks the department to refrain from supplanting general fund appropriations with the federal fund, the highway fund money. Traditionally, including this past couple months, when I sat down with YDOT, we were talking at that time 2, 4, and 8% cuts. I sat down with both agencies under the purview of Committee 8. One worked fine. YDOT did something that they've traditionally done for many, many years. If you cut their general fund money, they'll move money over from the maintenance fund, the federal funds, and move them into it to make sure that the program stays exactly the same. In other words, you know, Pickett, instead of, I'll give you an example. A couple of years ago, we had multiple projects going on. We were improving highways. We were working on highways, widening them and all those. Depending on the number of contracts you let, you need auditors. When we were really booming, we had 6 auditors. We've now cut the number of projects that were that the highway department is funding. But guess what? We still... just the way it goes. And I agree, they must be essential to laying pavement, even though we're at one-third fewer contracts. Traditionally, what they do is they cut the contract money out here that's going to pavement, shift it over, and that's how they fund some of their programs. All I'm asking them to do is not do that anymore. So that we can hold the amount of money to repair roads, and if we need to cut, and it's general fund that we're cutting, when this legislature cuts, that they are real cuts. I've seen it over the years, time and time again. Looks like we're going to face cuts in the coming biennium. I want them to be honest cuts and not, where's the pea under which shell, and start shuffling it around. I think it's time to quit that funny business. I ask for your support.
Further questions, conversation regarding this amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 5 has passed. We are now on to second reading amendment number 6. I'd ask that be read in at this time.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 6, multiple budgets affected, Department of Health.
What's your pleasure, Senator Nicholas?
Mr. President, I'd like to move, and I do move, second reading amendment number 6 to Senate File 1. Ladies and gentlemen, this goes directly to the Department of Health budget and with respect to the current level of funding and the second year. What we've done is split the 2 years in half. You'll recall the discussion that the department felt that they needed about $46 million to fill the buckets of the mandatory Medicaid funding deficits from ARRA funding, as well as about $8 to $10 million worth of Title 25 funding. We reached a compromise of increasing their entire budget by $43 million. And then we essentially add the $43 million to their budget. And then you'll recall there's a 4% reduction in the second year of the biennium required of all agencies, and this actually implements the 4%. So what you see is the funding for the first year of the biennium is the, you end up with 48A, that is fiscal year 13. That budget is based upon the higher amount, which would include the $43 million. And if you look at the second page, you see the funding for 48B, which is the second year of the biennium, the second fiscal year, and that is 4% lower. The effect of that is that we put in $43 million and then we recover 4%. The net cost to us is about $24 million, and we take that amount out of the auditor's reserve, $25 million. So we go ahead and acknowledge that they have higher demands in the first year, but implement the second year 4% cut. This was worked up with the department, with the labor committee chairs. The idea is to say, look, whether we are happy with it or not, we acknowledge that you have this increased obligation, but we do look to you for the 4%. Now, they're excluded from doing a second 4%. But required to make sure that their budget for the next biennium come in at 8% lower, which would be essentially the 4% biennialized. It's a compromise. It works within the profile budget, and I urge your support.
Senator Scott, go ahead.
Mr. President, the problem we've got with health department and particularly with Medicaid is it is so complicated with the various federal restrictions, the times which you can make changes, that it is very difficult to identify where we can save money by changing the way we're doing things. It's going to take some time to do it. What this amendment does is it gives us a hard target to shoot against for the reduction in the second year. That will make it easier for us to work with the department, to work with the various interest groups, and give us the time that's needed to deal particularly with the complications of the Medicaid program. And Mr. President, I frankly think there are significant opportunities to improve the efficiency of that program to continue to deliver quality service to the clients. It's really part of our necessary support of the poor, but I think we can do it a lot more efficiently, but we need some time. This goes along with the Senate File 34 that's we just passed through second reading an hour or two ago. It's all part and parcel of the effort to get that Medicaid funding reduced, and I would urge adoption of this amendment.
Senator Ross, let's go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is just a question for clarification. Based on how I just heard it, I would anticipate that the total for the second of the years would be 4% less than the total of the first year, but that's not the case, so I'm curious. Thank you, Mr. President.
Question being called. Senator Scott, this is a pretty important issue. I'm going to pause for a second here. Yes.
The reduction from essentially a budget of $926 million to $907 million, and was calculated by our staff and DOH, Department of Health, and I'm not certain how they ultimately looked at. You got to also look at the difference between the general fund and the federal funds. So what we're looking for is a general fund reduction of the 4% as opposed to I would not expect to see a corresponding 4% decrease in federal funds, and I think that probably explains it.
Are we ready for the question? It appears that we are. Regarding second reading amendment number 6, I'd ask the chief clerk to call.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Amrick?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Slatern,
aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
Second reading amendment number 6 has passed. Next amendment for our consideration, second reading amendment number 7. I'd ask that be read in.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 7, budget affected, section 48, Department of Health.
What's the pleasure, Senator Case?
Mr. President, thank you very much. I would move second reading amendment number 7 to Senate File 1. Mr. President, this adds a total of $400,000 to be used by the Department of Health to fund a match for the participating in the federal Ryan White program with respect to HIV medications. It's something we've been participating in a long time. It's one of those areas that the state and the federal government share the responsibilities. I've included for distribution a letter from the director of the Department of Health. It's directed to a representative on a colleague on the other side. And it suggests that the $400,000 in state general fund is appropriated to the public health division to replace general funds that were eliminated in error. This funding may be necessary to meet the maintenance of effort requirements for the HIV/AIDS program. That's why I bring it, Mr. President. It's represented that the funding was eliminated in error, and that's from the director of the Department of Health. It's this handout.
Thank you. Questions? Commentary? Seeing none, second reading amendment number 7, I'd ask the chief clerk to call a roll.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Amrick?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson,
no.
Landon,
no.
Martin,
no.
Meyer,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Slatern,
aye.
President Anderson.
No.
Closing vote. Christensen, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing, vote closed. 12 ayes, 18 noes.
Second reading amendment number 7 has failed. Second reading amendment number 8, I'd ask that be read in.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 8, budgets affected, 48, Department of Health.
Senator Hastert, I believe that's your amendment. Would you like to speak to it, please?
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to move second reading amendment number 8 to Senate File 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Members of the Senate, what I've done here is asked to put $60,000 into Department of Early Childhood Intervention, basically in the Child Developmental Centers for hearing aids. One of the things that came up in discussion about some legislation that had was considering hearing aids was that it was an insurance mandate, and having difficulties with insurance mandates, certainly missing a greater portion of the kids that could have be eligible for these. I'm looking to put some money into early childhood intervention.
members of the Senate, there's approximately 21 children in Wyoming diagnosed with hearing loss each year. We have the newborn screening system that's been set up since 1997, but we really don't have an avenue of following through for these kids. Medicaid does provide, if you're Medicaid eligible, Medicaid does provide hearing aids for these kids. And there's a very small window of opportunity for these newborns to get hearing aids. If they're diagnosed with hearing loss as a newborn and they don't get hearing aids, and I think it was by age three, then they have brain functions that don't develop, and they end up costing and in developmental programs for their entire school year to the cost of about $400,000 for their entire school year, and plus another $400,000 post-school in public assistance because they hadn't gotten that early intervention. We heard some testimony of some kids that we had the opportunity to get the hearing aids at a very young age. Parents were able to had the means, or the other ones were Medicaid eligible. These kids are 4.0 students and doing well. But we also heard on the reverse side of kids that weren't able to get hearing aids. They struggle through school. They hate school. This is just a means of getting these younger kids some hearing aids. They're expensive. They cost $2,000 to $6,000. I chose a small amount to get started with this to take a look at how this would look for the first year, and you know, getting these kids eligible or into some hearing aids. So that's what I'm trying to do, and I appreciate your support.
Vice Senator Scott, go ahead.
Mr. President, rising on and for this amendment, we did hear the mandate bill in Committee 10. A couple of things became apparent. First, we've got a real problem out there that you do have this number of children, and 21 was the figure we got, that have the hearing loss. You do have a limited time frame to correct it. If you don't, the brain develops beyond that, and you just can't get it all the way corrected. We had testimony from one father where the child was not caught in time and could not get a hearing aid in time, partly due to battles with insurance companies. And that child is going to cost us more in special education alone than this appropriation. So you eliminate one of these children from needing special education, you're going to save this amount of money in a hurry for the state. It is complicated. The children who are on Medicaid clearly have access to the hearing aid through the Medicaid program. There was a claim that the children on our child health insurance program are eligible for that, but that claim was not verified, and I'm not sure whether it's true or not. But there's a set of people who are good, hard-working citizens that don't make enough, and it's a real problem getting these hearing aids because they are so expensive. And then there's a set of people either covered by the government programs or are wealthy enough so they can afford it. I think this is a good stopgap, but I would hope that the sponsor of this, and I would promise to work with him, will work it up between now and the general session and take a hard look at the mechanisms, parental cost sharing, things like that, so that we have a reasonable, rational program. This is a stopgap because the mandate bill simply was inappropriate.
Senator Nicholas?
Mr. Chairman, reluctantly opposed to the new funding. Again, folks, the testimony you're hearing now and what you're going to hear on a lot of these things is that we do have a safety net called mandatory Medicaid to pick up those folks that are means tested to not be able to afford their care. And we also have an S-CHIP insurance program for those people that are even higher means, that have higher means, but still within, my recollection is about 185% of the federal poverty level. And if their children participate, there's likely to be insurance. There's nobody saying they're not insured. And we find a group of folk, parents, who simply aren't making this their highest priority and would like the state to pick up the cost. There are a lot of folks in this room that know it's not easy to buy your hearing aids, and the year you buy it, they're expensive, and you have to take care of them. If you want to become the safety net for every family above the federal poverty level and say that we're going to take care of all your problems, then it gets expensive. Here we're looking at a 4% cut, and now we're adding back new programs, and we're not even told what the end game is, how much money, and there's apparently no restrictions with respect to who can qualify. You simply have to be in a category regardless of income.
Other comments? Go ahead, Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, a question for the sponsor. And my understanding is that if this child is under Medicaid or under our CHIPS program, they are covered. So that's the low income end of this deal. But the next group we're covering are children receiving services from the child development centers. What percentage of the balance of the population, who's covered? In other words, how much is the outreach from child development centers? Tell me who's covered and who's not. If you live in the country and live 100 miles from the nearest child development center, what happens in that deal?
Second time, final. Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. Child developmental centers, they're required by federal law to screen the kids. They are required to go out and look for those kids. They're required to screen those kids. Is there, there's quite a few child developmental centers across the state. And, you know, yes, it's true that anyone that has a child in need can come in to the Child Developmental Center and get the services there, get their child screened, and find out, you know, what types of services they do require. There is not an eligibility requirement. That is if those, but typically the kids that get served in there, you know, a lot of them, some are Medicaid eligible, as was talked about, and, you know, some are not. I'm just asking, you know, this is a quality of life kind of issue for these kids, and, you know, just trying to get that intervention. And as the tall senator from Natrona County indicated, you know, we get just a couple of kids, even one child into hearing aids, and we significantly save. So, yeah, we're looking for budget cuts. We're looking for ways of saving money, and this is a measure of getting those kids into hearing aids and saving the system a substantial amount of money over time.
Thank you. Second reading amendment number 8. I'd ask the chief clerk to call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
No.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Christensen. Coe, Cooper, Dockstader, Driscoll, Amrick, Esquivel, Geis, Hastert, Hicks, Hines, Jennings, Johnson, Landon, Martin, Meyer, Nicholas, Nutting, Perkins, Peterson, Ross, Rothfuss, Schiffer, Scott, Bonflatern, President Anderson, Meyer, Johnson, no to aye. Closing vote. Closing Vote closed. 17 ayes, 13 noes.
Second reading amendment number 8 has passed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand in recess until 1:30 p.m. Members of the Senate, we also have lunch being provided for us today by staff, as customary. I would urge you to allow the Corporations Committee members to go through the line first, as they have a hearing beginning at 12:30. Thank you, Mr. President.
Other announcements. Go ahead, Senator Geis.
Mr. President, if you want to learn about state lands, go over to room 1699, and the state lands are putting on a conference for you to hear all about state lands over there. And then tonight, your committee, Agriculture Committee Number 5, Agriculture Public Land Water Resources, we're going to have a joint meeting in S-15. We're looking at the livestock marketing report, and then we're going to hear the Attorney General tell us about the lawsuit on the Tongue and Powder River.
Go ahead, Senator Coe.
Yeah, Mr. President, I'd just like to make an announcement as a member of the Board of Trustees of the Buffalo Bill Historical Center in Cody, which I'm very active in, as you all probably know. We're hosting a reception tonight at Little America along with Sinclair Oil. I'd like to invite the members of the body to attend.
Thank you, Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. Committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet on Friday, February the 24th at 8 a.m. in room S1 to consider the following bills. House Bill 2, Engrossed Private Transfer Fee Obligations. This is Real Estate Day, by the way, in the Judiciary Committee. House Bill 52, Private Road Actions Appraisal Costs. House Bill 12, Marketable Title Act Conversion. I can't talk today either. Conservation Easements. And House Bill 13, Wind Estate Disclosure. Thank you, Mr. President.
Other announcements? Senator Bebout, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals, will meet Friday, 15 minutes after the noon recess in room S-18 to consider the following bills. House Bill 27, Engrossed Extension of Energy Producing States Coalition. House Bill 29, Uranium Research Center Funds Extension. And House Bill 26, Engrossed Contractor Residency Provisions.
Other announcements? My Maslow register tells me it's time to eat. Although you heard the motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion has passed. We are at recess until 1:30 this afternoon.
I can't even follow.